This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And normally we catch up with Kevin on Thursdays. We've also got Rams Weekly Thursday at 2 o'clock. But figured, given the news that Kevin put out there over the weekend about Jay Norvell being fired from Colorado State. Kevin, Tyson Summers, the interim head coach for CSU, just spoke to you guys moments ago, as well as John Weber. What obviously we'll get into a lot of the details on all this, but what kind of stood out in that press conference?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's tough. All that. I think it was a decision that I think weighed on John Weber pretty heavily. I think he didn't take lightly. You know, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, the person Jay Norvell is. Makes it a lot harder to, you know, fire someone that you generally like. But I think obviously results, you know, were the deciding factor, and, you know, a thing that we've discussed over and over basically is what Weber said of it. Felt like, you know, they thought progress was made last year and then it just stalled, and felt they had to make a move. I think no doubt the timeline of moving into the Pac-12 is part of it. So obviously just a big decision and a big thing to do mid-season. You know, that's kind of become the trend in college football, but it hasn't happened at CSU in a long time.
Yeah, it's you know, Kevin, we've got questions pouring in. Big Hub says, hey, was Jay Norvell fired because of that loss, or was it because this was just the right time to do it?
Yeah, I don't think the Hawaii game itself was a make or break or, you know, a defining game. It ends up being the last, and so you always, you know, kind of look at that. But I think given the timing of this, you know, that seems pretty clear that they, you know, they being the administration, had been moving or leaning in this direction and finally got to, you know, the breaking point, if you will, of like, well, it's, you know, we know we're not going to do this long term, so let's move now and try and, you know, kickstart things moving forward. So no, I don't think Hawaii itself, you know, was a deciding factor, rather more, you know, maybe just a, you know, final straw type element.
Well, Kevin, and I've heard this, there's rumors already swirling all over the place that maybe a decision was going to be made after the Fresno State game, but then you win that way and that maybe delayed the inevitable a bit. Do you think that they were close before the Fresno State game?
Like I said, I think given the timing, I mean, this isn't a conversation. This isn't a one night conversation. You know, CSU didn't lose to Hawaii and the, you know, the leadership huddled up and said, oh, golly, like, what do we think? I think it's one that's been going on for a long time. Obviously, everyone was pretty vocal that they thought last year, you know, was supposed to be kind of the floor and they thought they had a good team this year. So when non-conference went the way it did, that increased, you know, those conversations. The start of conference play with the San Diego State game increased it. So yeah, I think it's probably fair to say this has been going on. Maybe Fresno State stalled it a little bit, but I think you also get to the point, if you've decided you're going to move on, you know, why keep allowing a result to dictate when you do it? Because, you know, certainly if he had coached this week and beat Wyoming, I think it's fair to say they wouldn't have fired him immediately after beating Wyoming. So I think if you've decided that, you have the loss on homecoming. There's no real clean break time, but, you know, you can understand why that would be how they chose it.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And Kevin, Tyson Summers will take over. Interesting. Jay just brought him in to be the defensive coordinator, talked very highly of him, and then now he's going to assume his role for at least the rest of the season. My brain was, I think a lot of Jay Norvell, I think a lot of Matt Mummy too. I just saw your tweet about Grant Chestnut taking over as the offensive coordinator. What is Matt Mummy's role with this team right now?
Yeah, it's a fascinating move that I guess everything's on the table right now, but I wouldn't say I necessarily expected it. But yeah, Matt Mummy will remain as pass game coordinator. Bill Best still as run game coordinator. But yeah, he's no longer calling plays like he was for, what is it now, the last three games. So obviously I'm sure that's a tough move for him. But yeah, a change to Chestnut, who has a lot of offensive coordinator experience in his past, but it's, you know, a potentially pretty significant change.
What does this do for a lot of the staff members? Not necessarily on the coaching staff, Kevin, but Jay brought in a bunch of guys to manage football operations, all that kind of thing too. What does that do to some of those guys?
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think a lot of people don't know right now. You know, Weber said, summarizing, basically said, we're going to look at it, you know, every single inch of this program and how we need to form it. You know, it's not just hiring a head coach. It's making sure the structure is how they want it. And it'll affect a lot of those things. So, you know, the GM role, some of those, you know, kind of off-field recruiting positions. You know, I think a lot of that is still going to exist. I mean, you're not, they didn't hire a GM in the thought that, you know, 6 months later they'd shrink the staff size back down. But for the individuals in those positions, what does it mean? I think truly no one knows right now. I don't think anyone is, you know, trying to hide it or anything. It's just there's so much uncertainty that they just don't know.
Give me a percentage chance that Tyson Summers could coach his way into a head coaching job for CSU.
I mean, small, probably less than 10, I would think.
Yeah, and that just interesting. You always wonder that when you get into the situation. You put together a list of guys, some realistic and some, as you even noted, unrealistic. But I did think, you know, obviously, Tim Skipper is an interesting name, the UCLA interim coach. Matt Lubick, you threw out there too. Clint Kubiak. And then you kind of threw some of the Hail Marys, James Franklin. And you noted in your story that Scott Sidwell was there at Penn State during a good portion of James Franklin's time there. Although the odds of him coming here would be still low, but that is fascinating.
It is. It's one of those that's kind of fun. You know, you maybe have a beverage or two, start thinking your way through. Well, you know, they have a connection. Franklin's getting a fat buyout from Penn State, so, you know, he could come and, you know, work on the quote-unquote cheap compared to what he was at Penn State, and, you know, in a less pressure environment, you know, maybe it'll work out. That's not happening. I mean, James Franklin's on game day or whatever this weekend saying he's going to win a national championship elsewhere, which, no offense to CSU, but that doesn't sound like a guy who's intending to go take a job in the new Pac-12. That's a guy who is going to have some pretty good P4 offers. So it's kind of, you know, one of those fun theories to kind of flow around, but like I said, not actually realistic.
Well, Mike Gundy's name is what kind of one of those fun theories too. The only reason I entertained it a little bit, Kevin, is because he's 58 years old. Maybe he's done with the high pressure. Not to say there won't be pressure at CSU, but there's just different sets of pressures at different conferences. But that's also a name I look at. And the other thing is, too, I don't know how many schools are lining up to interview him. He's kind of expressed that he's not that hip with what's going on in the NIL world and all the new stuff going on in college sports.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's kind of out right away because, yeah, he's been pretty vocal of he doesn't like the portal and pay-to-play era. You have to play the game, so I just don't see how you could entertain someone that's been pretty publicly against that. Not to mention, he's pretty heavily an Oklahoma guy and has been there pretty much his whole career. And, you know, it's a little hard to see him venturing, you know, into the West. But I think more to the point is he's struggled in this era. And so, you know, why would you bring someone in that's been kind of against it?
Who kind of stands out? I mean, you mentioned Tony Alford, too. His name always comes up, but he just has not been able to crack back in to Colorado State. But, you know, obviously his history with the Rams, that's a fan favorite, at least, every time this comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's probably unlikely for a variety of reasons. Yeah, I feel like if CSU had wanted to go that direction, they would have previously. Now, it is a different administration than previous hires. Colin Klein jumps out to me, a Loveland kid, a Heisman candidate as a player at Kansas State. He's had a really good young career as an OC. He's the Texas A&M OC right now. I believe his parents still live in Loveland. So that's one. He's considered a rising star. I've heard, and I certainly feel like he'll probably be on the list that CSU is looking at. But he's also going to be on other people's lists as well. So, that could be a tricky one, but I think he's in the mix. You know, Kubiak is obviously a name in Colorado. Flint looks like he's on more the NFL path than the college path, but, you know, he's a CSU alum, and you never know, he maybe would want to come back and right that ship. But some interesting names. I also wonder at the FCS level. You know, I didn't include Vegan or Polisak from Montana State or North Dakota State, partially because they both have Wyoming ties, and I just wonder about the PR side of that. But guys that have won at the FCS level, I definitely find intriguing.
Great list you put together. Very interesting. Available at coloradoan.com. Kevin, last one, man. I know this is the tough part of the job. We talk about sports. It's fun. It's like video games to us. But then there are real people that get fired. And I know they make a lot of money to do this, but I think you noted it. Families are affected. A lot of jobs, not just the big million-dollar jobs, but a lot of jobs are affected when this happens.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot, like you say, a lot of jobs, you know, a lot of ones that are a lot lower paying than, you know, what a head coach is getting. And then, families, like a lot of these staff members that, you know, I think it's fair to say probably won't be back at CSU next year. They have kids, and, you know, those kids have to, you know, move somewhere else now and change schools, and that's tough. It just impacts a lot of people, and, just don't want to lose the humanity involved here, even though, you know, it is a business. They all know that when they get in the job. I think it probably is a decision CSU had to make, but that doesn't make it not difficult for some of those families. So, yeah, I kind of always keep them in my mind at times like this because it is hard. And now, especially at the midseason, and you look at a lot of these staff members and their families, they're going to coach, you know, kind of business as usual while knowing that, you know, more than likely they're moving somewhere.
Yeah, no, more than likely an overhaul is coming. Kevin, always appreciate you, my man. We'll look forward to diving into all this on Thursday with your segment on the whole show, and then, of course, Rams Weekly coming up at 2 on Thursday. So we'll catch up with you then, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And Michael, we'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number 2. More reaction from that and what it looks like for CSU going forward. It's the whole show powered by Chevron.
One is a trickster. One is a treat. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.